Hey listeners, Chloe here. If you need to stay as up to date with the latest developments and innovations in the luxury industry as I do, you need to dive into Vogue Business. It's your ticket to a global perspective on fashion and beauty, delivering exclusive insights that will give you the edge in this competitive, dynamic industry. Just visit VogueBusiness.com today and use the code RUN20 at checkout to join the Vogue Business community. That's VogueBusiness.com, promo code RUN20. Don't miss out.
This is The Run-Through. I'm Cho Minardi.
And I'm Chloe Mel. And it is that time of year.
Oh, yes, it is. The most important and exciting time of year around here.
I feel like it's like a Christmas carol.
I know.
It's the most wonderful time.
I mean, it's a September issue, guys, if you didn't already know.
So we wanted to talk to the woman who has made so many iconic September issues, the Wizard of Oz of September issues, our boss, Anna Wintour. We sat down in her office at Vogue headquarters in the World Trade Center, and we wanted to chat with Anna about everything from her earliest fashion memories to how her father influenced her work ethic and what her grandkids call her, which I was surprised and delighted by, and of course, about the making of this year's incredible September issue.
But of course, we started off by asking her about why the September issue is so important, about the making of this year's September issue, which of course had all the supers on it, all your faves, Linda, Christy, Naomi, and Cindy.
No last names needed.
No,
no last name needed for Anna either.
No.
Not on this podcast.
No,
anyway.
No.
Yes, well, obviously the cover is always the most exciting thing for any issue, but particularly for the September issue, and working very, very closely with our colleagues, and particularly at British Vogue, and particularly Edward Ennifle, who is the deputy global editorial director of Vogue in Europe and editor-in-chief of British Vogue. We were very, very intrigued to hear about the Apple documentary starring four of our favorite supermodels. What we have on the cover line is the greatest of all time, Linda, Christy, Naomi, and Cindy. And so those are the four great models on the cover, photographed by young talent Rafael Pavarotti. And between them, I believe, just in American Vogue alone, they have over 42 or 43 covers. Wow. I think this will be their 43rd cover. I think it's the first one where they've all appeared together, although they did do a similar cover way back in the 90s with Peter Lindbergh. And I think we were all very, very intrigued by the interest in the 90s, both from designers and a documentary that we ourselves at Condé Nast are working on, like what the 90s meant to fashion. And I'm not sure if either of you saw the 1997 exhibition that was on
in
Paris.
I wasn't able to catch it while it was on, but I heard it, it was incredible.
Which really reinforced, I think, seeing it, that was such a pivotal moment in fashion. It was an exhibition about 1997 where, you know, so many designers were discovered. It was when Nicola Gasquet first went to Balenciaga. It was, you know, also the scene of great tragedy. We lost not only Princess Diana, we lost Gianni Versace. But I think if we look back at the 90s, it was when models really captured the public imagination in a way that was unlike anything we had seen before. So it felt right, since the Apple were doing this marvelous documentary, that we would pay tribute to them because they've been so much part of our history for so long. We also thought it might be timely to revisit a couple of celebrities, artists that we had featured in the magazine before.
And who are some examples of that?
Well, one is the young actor Josh O'Connor, whom we all, I think, came to our attention first with the film, that name is going to escape me, that was set in Yorkshire. Well, it was God's Own Country, which was the Yorkshire equivalent of Brokeback Mountain, in which Josh, I think, was truly extraordinary. And I think it's where he caught the attention of people like Stephen Daldry, but he captured most people's attention when he played the young Prince Charles in The Crown. And he is appearing, we don't know when yet, in many movies, but the one that we were intrigued was Challengers, of course, for me, because it was a film about tennis with Zendaya and the young actor Mike Feist, and he's remarkable in it. Even learnt under the guidance of Brad Gilbert to play tennis.
Wow.
And then Zadie Smith, who's been in the magazine and been with us many times.
Why is the September issue such an important issue?
Well, I think it's a combination of our history that September has always been the most important month. I think it was amplified by the documentary that was made many years ago, the September issue. I think there's an excitement around that time of the year, fall clothes by nature, maybe more to look at, more to photograph, more to take videos of, more to talk about on podcasts than the spring collections, as wonderful as they can be. I think there's just a sense of everything starting over. When I think back to when I first started working at Vogue and was thinking about my first September issue, which actually had Naomi Campbell on the cover, I think I was a little bit naive in understanding the importance of that issue, because to me, Naomi was the model of the moment, and I had absolutely no hesitation at that time in putting her on the cover or choosing her to be our cover star. But there was a sort of peculiar ritual that you had to go through back then when you would present the issue to a number of executives, all of whom were men, and they were quite surprised and I think not a little nervous about the idea of having Naomi on that cover, but to me there was absolutely no doubt. So it's a nice moment to have her back on the September issue in the company of, you know, great friends and collaborators for her and for us over many years. And of course, September now is not just print, it's so many other things, as you both
Vogue
know.
Vogue World.
Yes. Video and digital and podcasts and everything else that makes up content in Vogue today. But of course, you're absolutely right. Choma was super excited about our second Vogue World, which is going to take place in the UK. And I think after the success of Vogue World here in New York, we wanted to live up to its name and start to take it around the world. And we were very anxious to support the performing arts in the UK because they have had such devastating government cuts. So it will take place in a theatre. And it will be a tribute to theatre, musicals, opera, dance, and everything else in between. And of course, fashion under the guidance and directorship of the great Stephen Daldry.
And the net proceeds go to?
Yes, all the ticket sales and also many very, very generous donations that have also been given to us. They will all go to support different arts communities.
That's super exciting.
Anna, what's your first fashion memory?
Well, I grew up in London at a time where, you know, fashion was breaking out in a way that it hadn't before, and it became much more democratic and fun. It was, you know, the late 60s, early 70s, and I think
what were you wearing? Were you wearing mini dresses?
I'm sure I was. but I think that it was a breaking down of class barriers and people mixing much more and not just being sort of boxed into a certain way of life, which I think was certainly the case in the 50s and a little bit in the 60s. So I think it was a time of great freedom and a breaking down of barriers. So that obviously was amplified by what people were wearing and also the music and film and culture all coming together. So it was a super exciting time. I'm not sure that I have a first fashion memory, but I certainly have a memory of everything being much more open. I mean, when I was, you know, a very young girl, I lived in a situation where you got dressed for dinner and women would leave the table after the main. So the fact that that was all being thrown out the window was, you know, obviously great relief to me. And I'm sure to many.
You've been to so many fashion shows. Can you remember the first fashion show that had you on the edge of your seat, goosebump style?
Fashion shows are like going to the movies. It's always about, or reading a book, it's about who's telling you the best story.
Right.
And it's so interesting to me how the designers in London who managed to make incredible shows with no money. And it's the way they produced content for so many years with no money. They seem able to do it in a way, they could go bankrupt the next week, but they somehow managed to tell stories and to create an atmosphere and electricity around the work that they're doing in a way that is also, as we were talking about the 60s and the 70s, very free. And maybe they don't have the weight of a corporation or a P&L sort of weighing so heavily on their shoulders, that they have that sense of freedom and exuberance that is always quite remarkable. So I wouldn't want to pick one. Shoma, there have been so many, but I do always think that the English designers have a sense of storytelling. You think about the late great Alexander McQueen or John Galliano, or you know, some of the younger designers working in London today. They tell a story in a way that I think is very enchanting.
Mm. Agreed.
Anna, what are you excited about fashion-wise for fall? What is the mood of fashion right now? Are there any, have you purchased any clothes yourself that you're excited to wear?
I'm not that organized. I haven't got that far. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to wear to Vogue World, but I'm thinking maybe something gold. I like the fact that it's quite dressed and it's quite 90s, the way that Edward showed in the brilliant portfolio that he did with all the four girls. I love the evening story that we shot at the Pullman Center. We also have an homage. We're back to British designers again, but Gab went to Japan for a wonderful story that was what we were calling glamorous punk. But really, I think in all of our minds, we were thinking about the great Vivienne Westwood, who sadly left us this past year. And it was really a tribute to her style and her activism and a sense of breaking down barriers that we were talking about before, and her belief in her causes and her extraordinary energy and belief in everything that she did. And I think that tribute in the streets of Tokyo is such a fun Vogue storytelling moment.
The run-through will be back in just a moment.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
Do you ever see a new face or name on your news feeds and say, who the heck is that?
Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't. The New Yorker says we spelunk deep into the demimonde with convivial delight. That's a direct quote.
Mostly, we're going to explain to you Irish star Barry Keoghan's sudden rise to fame and relationship with a not-so-under-the-radar pop princess named Sabrina.
The fake wedding Real Housewives star Cynthia Bailey had to promote a limo rental company.
And why all the Gen Zers you know are talking about a guy named Benson Boone.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest celebrity stories of the moment. And if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we answer the most burning celebrity queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you ever owned something that inspired you to up your game? Maybe a chef-grade range made you want to hone your cooking skills, or a high-tech tennis racket made you want to work on your backhand. I recently bought a new pair of running shoes, and that made me love hitting the pavement again. Well, when we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Anna, I am curious what your schedule is like. You're so legendarily a workhorse, and what is Monday morning?
Well, I'm just an early morning person, Chloe. I'm not someone that stays up late and goes to the after parties. So I do think it's a very helpful time for me to figure out the day, the week, the month. I look online at all the British newspapers. I read the New York Times. I read the Wall Street Journal. If there's
all online, no print?
No print. Oh. And if there's any calls that I need to make to any of our global colleagues, that's a great calm moment to do that. I go to the gym. I walk through Washington Square Park, which is always an interesting experience. And I try and be here, be in the office by 8:15 to start my day.
So what time do you actually wake up?
4:45.
Wow. Yeah. That's impressive.
And I'm curious, I always have been amazed at your attention to detail, and especially now as your role has gotten more and more global. Mm-hmm. I still find that you will read every caption in the magazine. Mm-hmm. Is there a lesson to be learned from that? Do you ever feel like you wish you were less focused on the details because it's overwhelming, or is...
I think I growing up with a father that worked in news and seeing his excitement and his energy around breaking news and breaking stories, I think that fed into me a great love of journalism and following a story and creating a story that I feel very lucky to have had and to have experienced, you know, throughout my life, really. It's not a world that I've ever not had in my life. And I think that's what drives you, what channels caring and passion, and hopefully that influences the people that you're working with.
I was listening to an interview, you talking about your father on the way here this morning, and I was wondering if you had to describe to your father today, or he saw how different media is, what do you think he would be most surprised by, or what would be the biggest change from 50 years ago or 60 years ago?
Well, you know, obviously his life was, and his career was very much around print newspapers.
Sure.
But you have to remember, Chloe, when he was working, there were as much as 8 to 9 editions a day.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So it was just a non-stop print
wow.
of these different, the racing edition, the morning edition, you know, the midnight, you know, so it was just endless. So I think the volume, it may have been more concentrated in one area, but it was just as big. And I think he would have been, as we all are, so excited by what media has become and how you can reach so much a bigger audience than you could when you were just a print publication. So I think he would have been thrilled, excited, and ready to start the day probably at 4:00 in the morning. So...
You're a night owl compared to him.
No, he would leave very early. He would leave at 6 in the morning.
Wow.
Wow.
Can you tell us what pre-release and final release meetings are and why they're important and what happens in them?
Yeah, it's when you release the print publication to the printers. It's sort of an archaic name, but we stay with a lot of archaic names. And it's when we're all the editors gather in a room and look at the... issues and decide if the captions are wrong or if the headline is wrong or if there's something that needs a little bit more work or whether we want to take something in or out or change a headline, whatever it may be. But it's an important moment when we all come together and look at the work, and we do it twice, hopefully also to look for mistakes or something. Like right now, we're in the situation where we're having to wrestle with what the SAG strike means for all of us, and making sure there's disclaimers on pieces around any actors that were promoting completely within the guidelines at the time, a film that may or may not be coming out now, and making sure that we're protecting them as we should.
Anna, as you know, the podcast is called The Run-Through,
yes.
And I was wondering if you could, I feel like people are very intrigued by what a run-through is, and
yes.
We're wondering if you could just
describe
that.
Well, I can tell you about my first experience with a Vogue run-through.
We would love that.
Before I had the job that I'm in right now, and I was creative director of Vogue, and I was invited to a run-through in the then editor-in-chief's office, which was far larger than the office that we're sitting in now. And every single editor sat around the office in a small chair for 6 hours the whole day.
Oh, my God.
And
what?
Models would come in, and we would all look at them and make comments. And that was how a run-through was operated.
Wow.
So that was one thing when I was lucky enough to be given the position that I'm in right now that I thought I could speed up.
So how long is the average run-through now?
Shorter than 6 hours, that's for sure.
So we didn't really get into detail in the interview, but a run through is basically a run through of the clothing that goes into every single shoot editorial. So the stylist and all the sittings editor, you know, present all of these looks to Anna and they'll decide which will be shot.
Anna, what's the best thing about getting older?
Well, I think it gives you patience. I think you learn that in the end, everything will be fine. And you just need to think about things calmly and rationally and try and come out making the right decision. And I guess there's not much left to surprise you.
You're very passionate about the philanthropic work that you do.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You fundraise for the Met. You also do a lot of work with God's Love We Deliver and the Youth Anxiety Center. Can you tell us about the Youth Anxiety Center and how you got involved and why it's an important issue for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think mental health among young people is something I became more and more aware of as my own children grew up and realizing that there was just not enough support for young people at a very fragile moment of their lives when they may look grown up and adult, but in fact, they're kids. So it was very important to me personally and to many people close to me that we do something about that. And out of that, the Youth Anxiety Center was born in connection with Columbia and Cornell and to help young people who are suffering from depression, anxiety, and even, unfortunately, suicidal tendencies. And this has been, I think, amplified by the pandemic. You know, it's really quite alarming to see how the numbers have spiked post-pandemic. Mm. But also incredibly encouraging to see how much more open people are to be talking about it.
Anna, I was wondering if you would just tell us about your summer vacation. What are you going to do after the September issue comes out to sort of relax a bit?
Well, what am I going to do? I have very lucky to have a garden that I love, and I spend a lot of time in the garden, and I spend a lot of time playing tennis.
Nice, fun.
And can we just ask you what your grandkids call you?
Dog.
Really?
Yes. Now I have a lot of dogs. So.
They call you dog? Uh-huh. Oh my gosh, how fabulous.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Anna.
That's it for this episode of The Run Through.
The Run Through of Vogue is a production of Condé Nast Entertainment.
The show is produced by Susie Lechtenberg, Chelsea Daniel, and Alex John Burns. It's engineered by Jake Loomis, Gabe Quiroga, and Kevin Bourassa. And mixed by Mike Kutchman.
See you soon.
Bye.
Hi, we're Carlene and Jill, hosts of Breaking Beauty Podcast, the show all about the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty. On our show, you're going to find hella inspiring guests like Emily Weiss of Glossier, and you'll get beauty tips galore from the top pros in the industry, like Kim Kardashian's makeup guru, and you'll hear skincare secrets from the likes of Dr. Pimple Popper. Plus, you'll get shopping help with our Damn Goods episodes, where we review the latest products hitting store shelves to let you know what's actually worth your money. Listen every Wednesday to Breaking Beauty Podcast.